Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
Oh, yes, we are alive. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Kendra is here, or as I have been calling her today, Typhloid Kendra. For those of you that have, I do too, Chris. I miss the full version of Copperhead Road. I think once we get into December, I think I'm going to extend the full Copperhead Road. I'm not gonna lie. I do miss it. But good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the hot seat. It's going to be kind of a different show. I know I say that a lot, but it's going to be kind of different. Punisher. The audio's weird. Y'all are saying the audio is weird? All right, hang on. Let me look at something real quick. Yeah, that is weird. I don't know why. I don't know why the audio would be weird. Punisher kid. Yeah, the audio. I don't know, guys. I haven't changed anything. I haven't done anything. I really don't know what's going on at this point. Today is a weird day. It has been. We're just going to have to get through it because I'm not going to start touching stuff and fooling with stuff. And all right, it's good now. Well, you know why it's good now? Because I literally turned off your microphone over there. That's why. So I'm going to bring Kendra on. And we're just going to try to do what we can.
No, just
go
let
ahead
me
and
leave.
put your thing on. It's not going to be normal. It's been a bad week for me and Kendra. How are you feeling, babe?
Man, I feel terrible. I feel as bad as I look.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm here for you and the mafia, baby.
Well, it is good to see you, especially with those. Can hear you through her mic. I got nothing, guys.
Can you turn me down?
All right. Try it again.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I don't really care at this point. I'm just trying to get through this show. So, we got a hard stop at a half hour. We're going to shift into premium and stuff like that. But there is a bunch of things that I want to get through that I want to get to. And we have been sick all week. Like, it started with Kendra. It was so bad that, like, I had COVID, and then I gave it to you, and then you just turned right around and gave it right back to me.
I did.
That's
what we do. We share.
Yeah, we just share. We share.
I will say that I don't wish this on anybody, and I hope none of you experience this. I don't get sick very often. Like, I just don't. And in the 5 years we've been married, Todd can probably count on one hand and not use all of his fingers on the times I've been sick. So I just don't get sick. I was a teacher, so my immune system was built up. I had boys. I didn't have time to be sick. But this is the worst I have felt. And I can't even remember. And so I hope none of you get this.
Yeah, for like the last 2 days, I get done with Dear America, and then I climb in the bed with you. And then, like, I get up just in time to put some stuff together to have a show for you guys. And then this show's over. And then we literally go get right back in the bed, which is actually kind of benefited us because we still don't have a couch. Like, we're still sitting in, like, our soccer chairs from the kids in high school. So we've got,
blessed.
we got, But the bonus is we've got this new, we got a new mattress, that Nectar or whatever, Nectar hybrid, whatever, adjustable bed. So it's benefited me because, I mean, guys, hello, I get to spend all day, even though we both feel horrible, I get to spend all day in a bed. I mean, look at her. I mean, do y'all really, do you blame me? She's gorgeous. I mean, I get to spend all day in a bed. Cuddled up with this woman. Like, I know you're jealous. It's okay. Be jealous. I mean, I'd be jealous of me too.
I literally just got out of my robe 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I washed my face with a washcloth. I can't even talk. And then I realized this is disgusting, but we're family, right? I had not brushed my teeth. So I was like, yeah, I think I'll brush my teeth before I go on, just in case.
All right. So the premise and the thought process behind today's show, I'm over it. I'm over all of it. I really think like the Democrats are and the liberals are just, we know they're hard R retarded. Like, I mean, we know they are. But I will say this. I think we have forgotten how bad it really was under Joe Biden. Like, I really think that we just do not remember how pitiful it was the 4 years under Joe Biden. Because like Graham says, and I see a lot of people on Rumble, a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of people on Facebook, this MAGA break. People are sick of MAGA, sick of Trump. They're turning on Trump. And I'm just sitting back like, damn, do y'all remember how freaking bad it was? Like, do y'all remember how high prices were? Do y'all remember being locked in your homes? Do you remember your kids couldn't go to school? Like, we sat here, me and you and Ty Floyd Kendra, we sat here, me and you, and we lit for a solid year. I screamed into, well, a microphone, not this one, but I screamed into a microphone, listened to Graham scream in his microphone, talking about how important it was and how our country was at a freaking crossroads with Biden. I mean, you remember all that, how horrible it was. And now we get the job done. We get it done. We knock it out. I mean, we win everything. And now here we are, not even a year into this, not even a year into this. And we got all these people bitching. I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for that. That's not who I voted for. That's not what I voted for. Shut your stupid. I'm tired of it. Like, shut the hell up. Because what's the alternative? What was the alternative? And it's like we got to prop up and we have to have like this perfect candidate. Like, it's just perfect. Like, he's got to be perfect. He's got to make all the right decisions. He got to do all the right shit. He's got to make all the right moves. He's got to make all the right deals. That doesn't exist, Candace. That doesn't exist, Nick. That doesn't exist, Ben. That doesn't exist. Like, what the hell are you guys even talking about? It's like all of these Peckerwoods, all of them, has just forgotten how horrible it was under Joe Biden. And I'm sitting here. I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. And I'm just going to look, I'm nobody on the level of a Graham, a Dan, a Candace, a Ben, you know, a Nick, a Tucker, a Megan Kelly, you know, Jesse. I'm nobody. I'm just a little Peckerwood from Mississippi that half the time doesn't know his ass from his elbow. Okay. But I know my country and I know my people. And apparently I know my country and I know my people better than you assholes, because unlike y'all, most of us are still suffering from the 4 years that we had under Joe Biden. All right. Most of us are still suffering, including us too. Most of us are still suffering from the 4 years under Joe Biden. And all you jackasses had just forgotten about it. Well, we're just going to move on. And we got who we wanted. We got Trump. And then all of a sudden, it didn't take you long, did it? Did it, you jackasses. It didn't take you long to just turn your back on him and to turn you because he made one decision, because he made one move, because he bent a little bit here to get what he wanted over there. And, oh, y'all just can't stand it. Y'all, that's okay. I'm going to remind your asses how bad it was 4 years ago, because I'm done with it. I'm over it. All of you anti-MAGA that were propping him up. And as soon as Charlie hit the deck, all of you just went, nope, because you are just like the GOP. You're just like the rest of them. You have no balls. In the fight or flight, you are all flights, all of you, because you have no loyalty, none. There's no loyalty in this whatsoever, none. At the first hint of trouble, you're just like the disciples. You strike the shepherd and the sheep will break. All right, you're just like Peter who denied him three times. You're just like all Thomas who doubted. You're just like all of them. You have no spine. Now, I don't know what it's going to take to bring you back to the fold. All right, but you keep messing around and we lose the midterms. And then you get on your little soapboxes again and start. I'm going to be like, y'all can shut the hell up because y'all are the reasons we're here. All right. If we lose the midterms, it's not going to be because the Democrats. No, it's not. It's going to be because of you assholes. Point blank, period, full freaking stop. It's going to be because of you assholes. Period. End of the discussion. Am I right or wrong over there? What do you think?
I think that you can never make everyone happy. And that's just a fact of life. And some people just want to complain. You know, they can have the perfect thing going on. We're kind of stuck in that right now ourselves. We mm-hmm. catch ourselves, y'all. We're essentially debt-free. I mean, we've still got some bills, but, like, we paid off a lot of stuff when we sold our house because we downsized to a house half the size, right? But I still catch myself going, man, I miss my tile shower.
Oh, you know,
I miss this. I miss my big closet. No, no, no. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, and I pray. I've been praying about this daily because I catch myself. I'm like, God, please forgive me for being a spoiled brat. You know, we were living like kings and we're still living like kings, better than 90% of the world, probably. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here complaining.
About the size of a dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah, it's so much smaller. What is going on?
Yeah.
And the oven has one heating element at the top. I can't. Anyway, y'all see where I'm going with this. But, like, we're just, you know, and so I catch myself going, get over yourself. And so, I mean, some people just are never going to be happy no matter what happens, no matter if things go their way or the way they thought they should have. And some people just want to see the world burn and they want to complain. So yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah. So today is going to be some hard truths. All right. And I got Kendra here specifically because you're what? Your third year into real estate?
Almost four.
Mm-hmm. And y'all, I'm not bragging on her because she's my wife. Look, I was a recruiter in the Army. All right. And I was very successful. All right. I was very good at what I did as a recruiter for the Army. And Kendra's a stud. Like, she is a show enough stud real estate agent. And it's not because my wife. It's not because she's beautiful and gorgeous. But she's very good at what she does. And when it comes to this 50-year mortgage, you know, I've only signed two more. I'm 42 years old. I've only bought two houses. Okay? I've only bought two houses in 42 years. The one I moved in with my ex-wife and the one I moved in and we bought together. Two. I will tell y'all, I don't adult very well. Do I?
No.
I don't. I told Kendra we got together. I said, hey, here's the deal. I'll hustle. I'll grind. I'll make the money. You handle the insurance, the house payments, all of the adult stuff. All the adult stuff. You handle it and I'll just pay for it. Can we make that deal? Because I don't. I suck at adulting. I do. If I go to a car, and
he also
prime
likes
example,
to spend.
Yeah, if I go to a car dealership to buy a car, I have to take Kendra with me because I suck. I can sell you anything, but on top of that, I'll buy anything.
He can be sold.
I can be sold. I can sell and I can be sold. Mm-hmm. And so I have to take Kendra with me because really quick, she's a gangster. She'll look at the car guy and go,
Nope. But I did say nope, and I picked up my purse and I walked out, and he chased us out the door.
Yeah, and so she is without a doubt the yin to my yang, and the reason why I brought her here is because I don't think of all of these like adult serious things, but when I hear the 50-year mortgage and I start doing some research and I start doing little things here and looking at the possibilities, I just have to ask these questions when people get pissed about it. So, yeah, Keoki, it's not the boys never grow up. I don't. I'm Peter Pan. I'm still a kid. Like, I am. Y'all, I have Grinch pajamas. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still play. I am a kid at heart. But before we get into all that, I do want to make you laugh. And I absolutely want to sell. We have something to celebrate. I mean, we really do. We really do. Because this just broke. And I'm so happy about it. I'm so, so happy. But Kendra, I want to get your opinion on this video right here before we go. It's a pretty good one, I think. It's pretty good. All right. So this woman right here, this is a woman. And I don't understand this at all. Maybe you can explain it to me.
All right, I'm back again to hit you with some knowledge about why men are so terrified right now. Studies have been conducted that women can make babies with other women without men. Yes, you heard that right. We do not need anything from a man to create a baby. The result? We will only have women children. So now let's talk about evolution. Women have had to survive in the society we live in today because of the threats of violence against us. So as we evolve, we become more consciously aware what is actually happening to us in order to survive. And this deep-rooted consciousness that is happening with women all over the world, and I mean all over the world, is absolutely terrifying to the male species. They have used power and control in order to shut us up and put us in the corner. But what they don't understand is that we are too conscious. We have become too conscious, and you can't take consciousness away from a human. Now, in order for the male species to survive, they must evolve too. And this is absolutely terrifying to them because they've lived in the comforts of their safety for so long. And as we bring consciousness to the male species, they now understand that women actually hold all of the power. Women decide whether the universe procreates and continues. So I say all of this to really say it's time to evolve. Each and every one of us. It's time to evolve and make this world a better place.
Okay. All right. Well, woman, what do you think about that, woman?
I think I am tired of that narrative. That's what I think. No, you can't make a baby without a man because that's the way God intended for it to be. That's the way he set it up. And besides that, like, who wants to make a baby with another woman?
That thing right there?
No. See, that's the problem. Like, she has not met the right man. She's taking all the fun out of it. Ew.
But, all right, so my question is, like, women have all the power.
No, we don't.
I mean, maybe in America, but that's very, I mean, but then again, I get tickled. Look, I don't care nothing about the we can make a baby without a man because cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, I don't even want to address that because you're retarded.
All right. In a lab, but with sperm. Guess where sperm comes from?
My man. Balls.
A man.
Okay. But I want to address this particular here that women power. We don't need men. Women. Yet I'm going to vote for a Muslim. I'm going to vote and brag on Sharia law. I'm going to do. I wish.
She going to fafo.
Bro, I wish that I could take this chick right here to Iran, to Kuwait, to Afghanistan and go, okay, go ahead. Because this is what you're voting. We talked about this all week. This is what you liberal retarded women are voting for. All right, is the Zohan Mamadami, all right, Omar Fathead, Ilhan Omar, Dearborn, Michigan, all right, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Texas, that little Durka Durka city in Texas that's being built. This is what you're voting for. And I want to take all of you women, not you. I know it's not you, but all of the women out there that think, well, I can do and say and whatever the hell I want to because I'm a woman and I don't need no man. And I want to take you to Iran, to where Sharia law is practiced and just let you go and let you walk right up to Durka Durka and say, I don't need no man in your little hoodie and watch you get the ever living piss slapped out of you. I would love it. Absolutely love it. It's just, man, but you're welcome. So, you know, weeks ago, long time ago, we lost a rock legend in Ozzy Osbourne. And look, whatever you think of him, I don't really care. His music was amazing. Like, there's no argument to be made about that. Like, Ozzy had some amazing music. But Donald Trump actually called Sharon Osbourne and left her a voicemail, and they actually played it, and I thought it was pretty cool. We was going to play it on Dear America because, I mean, me and Graham are huge Aussie fans, but I thought this was really cool, so let y'all listen to it. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, should we play the voicemail?
That's his son.
Not saying who it's from. Everyone will know.
Hi, Sharon. It's Donald Trump, and I just wanted to wish you the best and the family of great. Ozzy was amazing. He was an amazing guy. I met him a few times, and I want to tell you, he was unique in every way and talented. So I just wanted to wish you the best, and it's a tough thing. I know how close you were, and whatever I can do, take care of yourself. Say hello to the family. Thanks. Bye.
Love him or hate him, he didn't have to call and leave a voicemail.
Listen, when it comes to politics, we know nobody comes out a winner.
I mean, again, love him or hate him, he seems to always do the right thing. Like, when I say right, I mean the human thing to do. And that's why I like the man, all right? Does he do it all right all the time? No. But then you get aggravated by some stuff that he says and stuff that he does. And then you see this and it brings you back to reality that, no, he's not perfect. He's never going to be perfect. And then you have these moments right here where you're like, oh, he is human. Like, he absolutely is human. So thank you, Mr. President, for honestly reminding me that you are human. So, big announcement. I'm so happy about this. And it's so sad that I am happy about this, but I'm petty. I'm really petty. So Fang Fang Bang Bang is in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Fang Fang Bang Bang is in trouble. Eric Fang Fang Bang Bang has been referred to the DOJ for potential criminal charges after evidence of mortgage fraud was found by FHFA Chair Bill Pulte. Fang Fang not only committed mortgage fraud, but he deemed himself ineligible to be a member of Congress, all right, because he has no public record of a primary resident in his home state. And guess what? If you're an elected official, according to Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, you have to have primary resident in the state that you represent. And Fang Fang ain't got it. Ain't got it. I'm loving it. I am loving it.
Somebody forgot to check the law.
I am loving every bit of it. But here's the video right here. This is great. I love it.
Breaking just moments ago, Fox can now confirm that California Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell has been criminally referred to the Department of Justice, accused of mortgage fraud. Senior White House correspondent Peter Ducey reporting live on this breaking news on Eric Swalwell from the North Lawn. Hey, Peter.
Martha, as I was walking up here to do a hit on a different topic, I got a call from an administration official filling us in that Eric Swalwell, the Democratic California congressman, has indeed been referred to the Justice Department by Bill Pulte, who is the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac right now, because he is accused of making false or misleading statements on a mortgage application. We believe that this pertains to a $1.2 million house that Swalwell has in the Washington, D.C. area. Swalwell has already responded. Part of his very long statement says, as the most vocal critic of Donald Trump over the last decade, and as the only person who still has a surviving lawsuit against him, the only thing I am surprised about is that it took him this long to come after me. like James Comey and John Bolton, Adam Schiff and Lisa Cook, Letitia James and the dozens more to come. I refuse to live in fear in what was once the freest country in the world. Now, Swalwell has not been charged with anything. This is a criminal referral. Basically, a government agency thinks that they spotted something that is possibly illegal on mortgage documents from Swalwell. The Justice Department will now review these documents to see if a prosecutor believes that charges are worthy in this case. And then we would go from there in the judicial process. Martha.
If there is one person, because listen, karma's a bitch. And I love it. Okay.
I was just thinking that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And if there was one person on Capitol Hill that I could just love and wish to see in an orange jumpsuit, handcuffed, being perp walked, you know, to court, it would be this dude. I don't understand how he's not been arrested yet after he was found out that he was banging a CCP spy from China. I don't understand how at this point, like, you haven't already been popped for treason or, you know, whatever. But good luck, Fang Fang. You know, it always comes out. It always comes out. All right. So before we get to the mortgage thing, we got to get to some super questions really quick. Wolfpack Todd, give Punisher his beer back. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm so over him. No, he's going to stay in the basement. The door's locked. And we actually have a basement.
We literally have a basement.
We literally have a basement now. So he's locked in the basement, and he's just going to stay there. Yeah. Jersey, Kendra, this is for you. I feel sorry. Sister Kendra has to inhale your crayon fumes all day.
Right beside me in the bed.
Right, yeah, exactly. All right, Johnny Marine, now hang on. I'm all for calling balls and strikes, and the Chinese students are a major whiff. No foreign students until we fix our own. No foreign students until we fix our own students, especially not the Chinese. I never said that. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But I haven't, the whole 600,000 or the whole foreign students things, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I haven't really chewed that enough to formulate an opinion about it. I really haven't. I really haven't. So y'all gonna have to give me some time on that, because I look at our kids and how dumb we are as a society now. And again, it's all our fault. All of it. Every bit of it's our fault. But I see our kids like really shifting towards the trades, especially down here. So I haven't really formulated an opinion on that yet. So just be patient with me. Thibodeau, hey Todd, I thought you were moving to South Carolina with Graham. Not yet. We have not bounced yet. There are some, and I can't tell y'all the what and the why or the how. All I can tell you is there's a lot of changes coming, a lot of changes coming, and I can't tell you what those changes are. So we're kind of in a temporary, we all are. Dear America, us. Not the show.
Nothing bad.
Not
Todd's
the show.
Not leaving the show.
Dear America's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Graham's not going anywhere. But there's a lot of changes that could happen in the next 4 to 6 months. And so we're kind of like chilling right now. Jersey.
And this house was free.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I have an unpopular opinion on the whole 50-year mortgage thing. I think I do too, brother. I really do. I think I do too.
Make sure you call in, Jersey.
Yep. Will somebody get Brad Pitt off the screen?
Brad Pitt Barbie.
Oh, Brad Pitt Barbie. Yeah, I can't stand that guy.
He was talking about the dike.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. Wolfpack Todd, can you try evolving with a biology textbook? 100%. And this Peckerwood. So yeah, he probably does. He probably does. Seems like mortgage fraud is the Democrats' cause. They all do it. It's crazy. Katie Highlander, Kendra, this is for you. Can I get some info on her on buying our first house soon? We are wanting to use the VA.
Yeah,
make sure you call in.
Lots of benefits.
Yeah,
to using
make
the
sure
VA.
You call in. Alicia Victoria, when you guys go to Carolina, could you do a Wife Wednesday with Graham and Alyssa too?
That'd be fun.
It would be.
It'd be totally up to them.
Yep, that's up to them. I'm down for whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm just going to skip the rest of this stuff. I want to go straight to, and this is going to be a conversational piece. All right, so here's what I did with the 50-year mortgage thing, and here's my opinion on it. All right, for us 30-year-olds, like if you're, you know, 30, 35, 40, RA, you know.
I was like, hang on just a minute. Us 30-year-olds.
Hang on just a minute. It makes no sense for somebody that's 42 to get a 50-year mortgage. All right. Because I'm going to be dead by the time it comes
up. Or does it?
Huh?
Or does it?
Yeah, for real. All right. But I did run some math. Okay. And this, honestly, this math is primarily for you. All right. Because I know Kendra hates the 50-year mortgage thing. I know she hates it. Okay. So I ran some math. All right. So if this is for a $500,000 house. Mm-hmm. All right. It's for a $500,000 house. Mm-hmm. Same interest rate, same everything. All the numbers are the same. The only thing that's different is the terms. All right. The years. The years. Mm-hmm. That's it. So I did a 30-year and I did a 50-year. Mm-hmm. All right. And I broke this down to the easiest dollar amount that I could, all right, to keep it simple. All right, so on a $500,000 home at the current rate, all right, at the current rate right now, which is like
about
6%. The average rate's about 6%, mm-hmm. Okay? So your payment on a 30-year mortgage, it would be $2,997, all right, at 6%. All right, that's no down payment. All right, no down payment. So $500,000 loan, 30-year mortgage, $2,997.75.
But now, hold on. That's not counting insurance or property taxes, correct?
No, that's counting insurance and property tax. All right, and I did the same number for both, okay? So property taxes, $2,700. Homeowner's insurance, $1,500, okay? I did the same for both.
You said $1,500 for insurance?
Yeah.
Do you understand what?
I have no idea. I just did the same. The calculator, okay. I put you. The same for both.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't change any number for everything's got the same on it.
Got you.
All right. All right. So same numbers.
I'm with you.
All right. Same numbers. 30 year, the price is $2,997.75. On a 50 year mortgage, same numbers. Same numbers. Mm-hmm. 50 year mortgage, your price is monthly. $2,632.02. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you go from $2,997 to $2,632. Mm-hmm. 50 year. Now, here's my thought process. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's mine. And maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
I'll tell you.
Because I know you will. Because I think for like my son Christian, who's 18 years old and just bought his own home, I think this would be perfect for him. A 50 year mortgage would be perfect for him. What?
I thought he just turned 20.
Well, 20, whatever. He bought the house at what, 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, 19. All right. I think this would be perfect for him. And here's why. So I took that difference. The difference in the price was $365 a month. Mm-hmm. All right. So investments. The average return on investment in the country right now is about 6%. Mm-hmm. 6% annually. So if my son, Christian, bought a $500,000 home, 50 years, 50-year mortgage, all right? And instead of doing 30 and paying $2,600, he did the 50 and paid $2,600. Mm-hmm. The difference in those two payments is $365. If he put that in an investment, mm-hmm. the difference every month, he just put in an investment, in 30 years, he would have a $356,000 return. That's more than what, 70% of the total cost of the house in 30 years. And I did 30 years, not 50. If he did the full 50, that'd be $1.3 million. Which we all know, nobody's going to stay in a house for 50 years. That's the only people out of everybody I know on this planet, the only people that I know that have lived in their house for over 50 years are my grandparents, my grandmother. That's the only people I know. I haven't lived in a house longer than like 5 or 6 years. So like for me and you, no, 50-year mortgages, it's stupid. But I go back to... You go to a car dealership, What's the first question they ask you? And you go to a car dealership and you go, I want that car right there.
What do you want your payment to
exactly.
be?
Exactly. What do you want your payment to be? What do you want your payment to be?
Not what are you looking
not
to
what,
spend?
Yeah, not what are you looking to spend?
What do you want your
not what are you
to
looking
be?
To do this?
Let
not
me
what do you
work
do?
My
now,
voodoo magic.
I understand that this all has to work out perfectly and you have to be disciplined. And my son would have to take that money every month and put it in that investment to make that kind of money. But is it a stupid idea for grown folks like my age and stuff? Probably, yes. But if I take a 20-year-old and I do this for 30 years, they almost have $500,000 in investments.
In 30 years?
Yeah. It's 300 in that investment in 30 years. Go back to my calculator. It's $356,000, 30 years, at $365 a month, which is the difference in the two payments.
Okay. I see what you're saying, and I am not a mathematician.
Me either. That's why I did it on this.
Person, but I would have to question, is it not going to be more profitable for said buyer to make a principal payment of that $364 a month and to whittle that debt down?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I mean, depending on what the return is, that's the big question here. You know, yes, you're supposedly guaranteed that interest rate for that 50 years, supposedly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would question, I see the good of it on paper into for people starting out buying a home, because like you said, it is a lower mortgage payment. But I don't like it for the end game. And I mean, you've already said a lot of things that I was going to hit on. You know, nobody's keeping a 50-year mortgage. You're going in. There's a study out there and I forget all the details, but I think people live in at least 7 homes on average. I know you're way over. We're not talking about you, military guy. But for different reasons, you know, you outgrow a home, or you, like us, we just downsized because we're empty nesters now. We didn't need 5 bedrooms anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for you to say, oh, this is my forever home, we kind of said that about Omega.
We did.
And here we are 4 years later. We're already out of it. So, yeah, to initially do what it needs to do, sure. I can see the benefit of a 50-year mortgage. I just don't think it's feasible. And I don't know. I mean, you said I hated it. I'm just kind of like, eh, whatever. People are going to refinance in 3 to 5 years more than likely anyway.
Right.
Or they're going to change homes in 3 to 5 years. I mean, you've seen it already. I've been in a little less than 4 years. How many repeat customers have I already had?
Oh, a lot.
Several.
A lot.
And so, you know, life happens, things change, people get divorced, people pass away, people, you know, all the things. And so I could totally see where there are some benefits to it for sure. But I also know the market but here's where I was kind of like, ugh, when I saw some numbers on it. Okay. So this was based on a $400,000 loan and at 6%, and they didn't break it down by payment. They broke it down by what would you end up paying total?
Oh, this
right?
is terrifying. I've got those numbers
so,
on this 50 year.
Yeah.
All right. For 500. Okay. So, and this is why it's a horrible idea, according to these numbers. I have to be real.
If you do the loan game, but nobody's going in doing that.
On both loans. 30-year mortgage. On a 30-year mortgage, you're paying $500,000 in principal. You're paying $579,000 in interest. And so on a 30-year mortgage, you're actually paying, you know,
over $1 million.
$1,079,000. But on the 50-year, you're paying $500,000 in principal. You're paying as much interest on a 50-year mortgage
As the whole loan on the 30. You're paying over a million dollars.
You're paying over $1 million in interest. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to end up paying $1.5, $1.6 million for that $500,000 home. So, yeah, that's not, you know, for somebody like me and Kendra, we would never do anything like that. Never. It's stupid. But for if they take the scenario that I just said, then you're making all that up. In investment, like yeah, if you are, you're making all that up. But that's to say, like, out of 50 people that took advantage of this, how many do you think would actually go through and do exactly what I said? Like, not many.
Because, well, I mean, right now, I mean, it just takes every. That's why buying power is so bad right now, because prices have not adjusted. Prices are still high, even though rates are, you know, kind of leveled out. But because of inflation, you know, everything is, it costs everything that people make to live. I mean, our sons, yeah, they bought houses this year, but they're struggling. They're struggling to make ends meet because they still got to buy food. They still got to buy groceries. I mean, power and water and all the things. And so, it's just tough. And so, no, most people are not going to take that money and invest it. They're going to be like, oh, I can buy a steak this week instead of tuna fish in a can, you know?
Yeah, right. And let's talk about the housing thing for a minute. So, like, as a real estate agent, what dictates, because I really don't know, like, you sit down and somebody calls you and they want to sell their home, okay? And I know you have to sit down and you have to figure out how much that house is worth and how much to list it for. All right. What do you look at in order to dictate, like, okay, this house A, all right, that's 2,000 square foot is worth $300,000. But the house that's 2,000 square foot that's 10 miles away from it, well, that son of a bitch is worth $400,000. Who dictates what the price of the house is?
Well, basically the market does, because you base it on comparable sales. Now, sometimes those are for sale by owner and they don't get put in our MLS.
Mm-hmm.
But appraisers are going to pull the data from our multiple listing service, our MLS, and see what recently closed homes have sold for comparable to that. You know, they're not comparing a 2,000 square foot house to a 4,000 square foot house. There's certain parameters, and, you know, let's just say there aren't any comps in the 2,000 square foot range. Well, they may have to go down to 1,800, or they may have to go up to 2,300, but they adjust the numbers for that. You know, if this one has a pool, well, it's obviously worth a little more money than one without a pool. And so there's different parameters there that adjust it up and down accordingly, but it's based on closed transactions.
So what somebody is willing to pay per square foot in a particular zip code, in a particular area, in a particular subdivision, is what a house is worth is based on. Is that
Yes and no. It's based on what that bank is willing to loan on that house. Mm-hmm. Whether you're willing to pay it or not, if you're borrowing the money, the bank gets the final say.
Right, right.
So,
all right. So, like, so how much does the actual government affect what a house is worth?
Well, if it's a government-backed loan, such as FHA, VA, USDA, I mean, it matters a lot, because they hire their own appraisers and their appraisers go out and tell you what it's worth or what it's not worth. Now, again, they base it on the data. But I was just talking to an agent this morning from my bed and she and I were talking, and we were talking about a listing we have. And she said, I just don't think it's going to appraise for what the seller was adamant that we list it for. And I said, well, you know, we got to try. I said, let's throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. And she said, well, I just had one close, the same square footage, like he was saying, 10 miles down the road, and it came in under value. Now, she got with the appraiser and sent him some comps, and they got it up some, but they still didn't get it to the agreed upon contract price. And so this is why you had the crash of 2008. Banks were just loaning money left and right, way over appraisal value. And that's when the market crashed, because people were buying more than they could afford, and the banks were caught holding the bag because they were given money far and away more than what the houses were worth. And that is where PMI came into play. PMI is private mortgage insurance.
Okay.
And so the bank is, if you borrow more than 80% of the home's value, meaning let's say, you know, you just get a 3% loan, a 3% down payment. I said that wrong. You're going to put 3% down. So you're basically financing 90% of the home's value, right? What that means is the bank is not going to lose again like they did in 08. They put this PMI into effect and you have to pay it. They don't pay it. You have to pay it. But it's their insurance to ensure that you are not going to default on your loan. And if you do, they're going to be able to collect that insurance. So basically, it's a way to kind of control the prices in a way.
Well, I say all of that. All of that, and we're fixing to jump right into premium to get your opinion on this, on these things. I say all of that to say this. We have been willing to pay through the Biden administration. We have been willing, the American people, the American consumer has been able and willing to pay whatever cockamamie price they come up with for whatever, eggs, Oreos, houses. And like, houses were not being built during the Biden administration because, like, I was in the contract world for a while. My cousin builds houses. I've got friends that none of them were building because wood was so damn high. And In the area that I grew up in, there's an Air Force base here. And it's a pilot training facility. All right. So you have lieutenant colonels, majors, captains that are getting a housing allowance. All right. That's an astronomical value from the United States Air Force. And that set the tone for what rent was going to be. And if you weren't getting that housing allowance from the military and you were a civilian, well, you could either pay it or find somewhere else to live. I don't think these prices are coming down, personally. I don't think Oreos and Chips Ahoy and Doritos and Tostitos, I don't think any of this stuff's coming down. I don't think, now the interest rates might come down, you know, below 6. We might see a 4 or a 5, but me and you had a conversation the other day and your phone popped up and it had to do with Topher. You remember that? The gas prices you were paying? You know, what do you remember that?
No, I was looking when we were packing. I found my youngest baby book and he's 18. And so I told Todd, I said, it was crazy. I started looking through it and it was talking about, you know, how much things cost. Y'all, we think it's so bad right now. And I mean, it's not great, but these were literally numbers that I scripted 18 years ago when he was born. And it was asking, you know, price of eggs, they were $2.99. Price of gas, it was like $2.69. And I looked at Todd and I said, gas is $2.49 down the road right now. Mm-hmm. This was 18 years ago, y'all. And so it really, I had to double check myself for a second because I was like, this cannot be right. But I literally wrote the numbers myself down. And so I know that it's what it was back then. I think a movie ticket was like $7. And now
it's like 11?
10 or 11.
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean.
And CMD January 6th or whatever, read Project 2025. I don't think Project 2025 has nothing to do with this. Like that the prices are not coming down. I don't think it's. It's common sense. Like, and I can't say if I own Chips Ahoy that I wouldn't do the same thing. Like, I'm sorry.
It's simple economics.
Yeah.
Supply and demand.
If I own a company and I sell shit, I don't know, pens, and I get you to pay the average pen costs $1.50, but I get you, the American people, to pay $10 for my pen. Guess what? That pen's always going to be $10. The lowest price you're ever going to pay is $10. Like, I might do a sale, like a Veterans Day sale. You get, you know, 10% off or Black Friday sale or something like that. I'll do sales every once in a while. But at the end of the day, the price is the price. And whatever you're willing to pay, that's what the price is going to be. I don't think any of this is going down. And I don't think it has anything to do with the president, with Congress, with the government, or anything. It has nothing to do with that. It's capitalism. Period. It doesn't matter how much money we have or how much we have or how less we have. Once that price point is set, it's set. And it ain't going anywhere. It's going nowhere. But really quick, all right, before we get to the phones, I want to bring this up. I want to talk about this, okay? I just want to show y'all this because I honestly, like, I seriously think that we have really, really forgotten just how freaking bad it was under Joe Biden. Like, I mean, I really do. All right, let me pull this up while she's walked away. But, I mean, so when Biden was inaugurated, inflation was at 1.4, 1.7%. All right. In a year, it rose to 9% in a year. 9% in a year. And what I think is hilarious is when Trump put out this information, when Trump put out this Truth Social that said due to tariffs, I'm gonna send a $2,000 tariff payment to, you know, Americans in the country. The left's like, screw you. I don't want the $2,000 tariff payment. I don't want it. You sure as hell accepted that COVID payment, didn't you? You had no problems accepting the COVID payment, but you want to bitch about the tariff payment. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care. Do I think you need to take that money, put it in the government, and put it to our debt? Yeah, for sure. But better give it to me, the American taxpayer, than some other peckerwood that ain't going to do right by it. All right. So inflation was through the freaking roof because of Joe Biden and his stupid policies. All right. Bidenomics. It didn't build shit. It destroyed a country is what it did. And on top of that, this, for me, this is the culprit. All right. If you want to talk about why our economy is in shambles right now, across the board, this is the smoking gun. This is it. This is the know-all be-all of why America has become a shithole. All right. If you want to call it that. All right. This is why we are suffering and sucking because of illegal immigration. And here's the thing. And I'm going to bring you back, baby girl. All right. Because I want to hear your opinion on this. Sorry. All right. And as soon as we're done with this, we'll go straight to the phones. I will go on record as a redneck. All right. And Graham calls me America's favorite redneck. I can't take that moniker because there's a lot of really, I'm not Jeff Foxworthy, Bill Lingball, Larry the Cable Guy, or even Theo Vaughn. I will say I'm Rumble's favorite redneck because I think I'm Rumble's only one. But this is just the Rumble redneck opinion here. We are not import. Biden did not import millions and millions and millions of illegals that were willing to go to college and do good things. No, we imported victims. We imported worthless people that came over here. Forget taking our jobs. All right, forget. Etch-a-sketch that. I don't give a shit about the immigrants, the illegals that came over here and took our jobs.
They don't want our jobs.
They took our benefits. They took the benefits. They took SNAP. They took EBT. They took government housing. They took free money. We imported dependipotamuses. We imported dependipotamuses. That's what we imported. And once you do that and you start, you had, I don't know how many million people, I would like to see the numbers at how many millions of people were on government assistance pre-Biden. And then after Biden. And at this point, inflation was so high, we were still blowing money that we didn't have. I don't know of anybody on this planet that has a negative $1,000 in their bank account and is still writing checks. Biden was doing it. He was giving them housing and food and everything while the American people, citizens, were suffering and starving. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why we are where we are today. And to all of you people, the Nick Fuenteses, anybody that says MAGA is dead and that's not what I voted for, shut your stupid freaking mouths, all right? Because it's just like the gym. It's just like going to the gym. You make a decision to work out and change your life for the better, healthy, all right? You go and you spend 2 years, 3 years working out, eating right, doing the right things, doing all the right things, and all of a sudden, here you are 2 or 3 years later, you're, you know, 15% body fat. You're looking like a sexy Saurus Rex. You're looking amazing at this point. And it took you 2 years to get there. It only takes about 6 months to destroy it.
Two, not that long.
All right. It only takes about 6 months for you to go back to Captain Neck Fat. It's the same way with the economy. All right. Biden destroyed this country inside and out in every which way possible in 4 years. And all of, not you, and well, shit, I can't, maybe you, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about this or not, but all of these jackasses, you expect Trump to walk in the door and fix it in 6 months? What do you think he's like? He didn't come out of a damn bottle. Nobody grabbed a bottle and went, poof.
Phenomenal cosmic power.
No, he's not a damn genie. It doesn't work like that. It's going to take just as much or more time to fix the Biden catastrophe. It's not going to take 6 months. Just stop it. Stop it. But here we go. Let's shift to premium, shall we? Hold up. Here we go. Johnny Marine, really quick. I DM'd you in Discord. Pick a game at Wrigley Field you want to watch and let us know. You're not paying for the seats, by the way. We're going to do that. Kendra is coming. I got to look at the schedule, Johnny Marine. It's going to be when the Red Sox come. It has to be. It's going to be I'll look at the schedule to see when the Red Sox, because Wrigley's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
All right. It really is. Wrigley's on my bucket list.
We're going to pay for our ticket.
So, yeah, we'll check that. Oh, my God, Todd, you should be a comedian. No. Harley girl. Houses or vehicles never pay asking price unless with the house there's other interested parties. Then decide how bad you want that particular house or keep looking. I agree, and I can't do that because if I fall in love with something, I'll pay whatever you ask for it.
Sucker.
I am, like, straight up. Like, I am. I'll pay whatever you ask for it if I love it. It's pitiful. All right, we're going to make the shift to premium really quick, guys. Going to open up the phone lines. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, we are going. Here we are. Pow. All right, we are officially in the premium right now. And, of course, Jersey is the first caller. I had no doubt he would be because I know my brother from another mother really wants to lay this out. So here's the number right here. Guys, somebody please put it in the chat for me. Pin it up there. It is 833-858-5618. That is the number. make sure my... Okay. All right. Everything's good. Everything's set. We are ready to go.
I think there's a couple
Kendra,
more.
You need to let me know if you can hear this.
Okay. I think there's a couple more super chats, too, when he gets off the phone.
There is?
Mm-hmm. Was Harley Girl the last
one? All right. I read Harley Girl. All right. Alicia Victoria, my sister-in-law is trying to put my brother in debt over here in California over a house. California is stupid expensive. Yes. Yeah, I can imagine. And also from Free Press Audit, Kendra Sudafed works wonders for me. Anytime I have a COVID, flu symptoms, hope you feel better soon. Mm. By the way, you still look beautiful. You do.
You're so sweet. Listen, if y'all can't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. I feel about it.
I love it.
Terrible
love
day, it. But I love y'all. It. Thank you.
RL Morrill, when you come to Chicago, you need to come down with Johnny Marine so I can meet you guys. I'm 4 hours south of Chicago. We will, for sure. We'll let you know. It will happen. It's going to happen, I promise. All right, let's get to the call. I know this is Jersey. All right, man. It is prepped. It is ready. Give it to us, Jersey. Go, baby.
right. Well, first of all, a little housekeeping, Sister Kendra. It's always nice to see you.
Thank you.
We keep you in our prayers, me and wife, that you get a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Brother Todd, you're on your own. Sorry, brother.
It's good, man. It's good. Listen, man, I am totally okay with being Meatloaf compared to her. Totally okay with that.
But so this is a little bit different than what I normally get on my soapbox and rant about stuff. This is actually something I kind of have a little bit of passion on. I'm not into real estate currently. Most of the people in the chat know, my dear Hot Seat fam, that so by my full-time trade is I'm a tech for Volkswagen. But for about a year, I actually switched into sales on the Volkswagen. Same dealership, but just into the sales department.
Gotcha.
For a bunch of different reasons. But what it did for me was is it allowed me, because of where my dealership is, we're in a very wealthy part of the state of New Jersey where my dealership is. So I sold a lot of cars to a lot of very wealthy people. Most of the cars I sold were people buying brand new cars for their babysitters. Like, that's the type of clients that I had.
What?
So in doing that, I built relationships with them and they gave me a different perspective on money. And because of that, I now know we have to, with this 50-year mortgage, we have to understand the whole reason why President Trump is doing it. And the sole purpose is that the number one reason, if you it's an entryway into the real estate market for young Americans, because his number one, the thing he's focusing on is growing families, because he sees the population issue just like we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And most young people don't want to have kids because they can't even afford a home. Mm-hmm. Now, when you keep that in mind, remember, this is just an entryway. And there's a couple big things to remember that one, from what I can tell, these 50-year mortgages are going to be fixed rate mortgages, which is very important, because if it's variable, that makes a little bit of a big difference. But if you can lock in a fixed rate mortgage, especially if we get some help from the Fed in these next couple of rate cuts, it'll make a big difference. There's always the ability to refinance. And the one thing that people nobody's really talking about yet is like, oh, well, if you're not putting a lot down, you know, you're for the first 30 years, it's going to be only interest payments anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, Sister Kendra hit on a really good point. If you do some principal payments up front, you are building the equity at a much lower rate. I mean, at a much faster rate. You're going to build in the equity. And nobody stays in these mortgages. They're not going to be staying in these mortgages for 50 years anyway. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that a 30-year mortgage was crazy, because before 30 years, it was 5 and 10 and 15 years maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can be smart. Now, again, this is predicated on the ability of the buyer to be educated and to be disciplined and to be smart. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, no one's going to take that extra money. But you also made a really good point, too. If you took that difference of the money and you either put it towards principal or you invested it, I think they said even if you kept a loan for 50 years, if you just put it in the S&P, not even in anything, just a regular index fund, you would pay an extra $500,000 in interest, but that same money would make like $3 or $4 million mm-hmm. in the market.
Right.
So you'd be up $3 million. So it's not a bad, is it for everybody? No. But remember, the only reason why he's offering it is because he's trying to put young people in homes. And when they become financially stable, as they grow into their careers and stuff, they always have the ability to either make larger payments or to use their equity to get into something better, refinance something. So at face value, yeah, it sounds crazy. It sounds like a bunch of interest for the banks. But that's if you let them, because you have the buying power. You have the ability to control how much interest you want to pay realistically. When you make a principal payment, you're effectively negating the interest rate. You're creating your own interest rate at that point. Or you invest it and you beat the interest rate. You can do more on the market than the interest rate. So it's something to definitely, it's not a long-term thing. I don't expect anybody to stay in these mortgages for 50 years. But if you can be smart and disciplined, you have a real opportunity to become, you know, to come out on top and be a homeowner, have equity, get some net worth, and use that as buying power in the future.
So I was right.
You make a lot of great points.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah, you were on the right track. Like I said, now it's easy for people it will be real easy for people to kind of not be disciplined and then get trapped mm-hmm. in these loans. Mm-hmm. So it does take a lot of, like, it's going to be a lot of people, young people, that we need to educate them on that knowledge, on that logic, because it's like a credit card. If you don't stay up on it, you're going to get drowned in debt. Mm-hmm. But if you use a credit card properly, it's a life hack, because you know, I don't say this to like to brag or gloat or anything, but I pay for everything on my credit card, like a debit card, and I pay off my balance every month. And because of that, whenever me and wifey fly, we fly first class and it costs me zero because I'm using my credit card points.
Ah, very good.
It's money that I'm going to have to spend anyway. I'm going to have to spend that. I pay my car payment with that. I pay my rent with that. It all, if you use debt, if you're smart and you do some research, debt is there to be utilized to help you, but it requires a lot of discipline. And that's not something that they'll teach you in school. You have to learn that on your own.
Right.
Or for me, like I said, it came from me selling cars to rich people.
So it sounds to me that, Kendra, we need to invite Jersey down to Alabama to teach me how to adult a little better.
Yes. Jersey, he's all
Listen,
yours.
Man, it came from selling cars. I'm not nobody. I tell people all the time, I'm new to conservatism. I was always my own person, but like I was a dummy libtard for most of my life. It wasn't pretty much until COVID that I kind of changed the way I thought about stuff and really opened my eyes. God lifted the veil from my eyes. Mm. And, you know, I never turned back. That's the same time when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Like everything happened COVID changed the world for me. So I just take my knowledge now and I try to help as many people as possible. Cause like I said, they'll hear this and most of the podcasters are like, oh, it's stupid. Da da da. And yeah, if you're going to be a lazy bum mm-hmm. and just make your minimum payment. Yeah. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. I agree. When I heard it, I was like, okay, well, it's a stupid idea, but if you do it this way and add this to it, this could be a huge benefit for our 18 and 19 and 20 year olds. Like if they do
1,000%.
But I have to go back with the scary part about this is none of this shit is being taught in schools anymore. Like I remember when I was in high school, and I know a lot of you guys too, they actually taught us how to balance a checkbook and how to do a budget when I was in high school. They don't do none of this anymore. They don't teach you how to balance a budget. They don't teach you about investments and stocks and stuff. They don't teach you any of this stuff in school no more.
Nope. I had the same thing in my class. We had a banking class. They taught you how to balance a check, how to write a check, how to balance your checkbook and everything like that. They don't have that in school anymore. And that's why they're just pushing out, you know, working class after working class, but just to be slaves. There's so many ways to make your money work for you. Like I tell all my siblings, like, listen, and I learned it from my mother. My mother didn't make a lot. But she did so much with the little she made. Now she's one of the most successful people I know and still only lives off of like an $80,000 a year salary, you know, which in New Jersey is not really a lot. And in other places, that's a lot. But in New Jersey, that's not very much.
You can send her down here. $80,000, she'd be able to do whatever the hell she wants down here. You send
$80,000 doesn't get you jack squat. You don't get you jack squat in Jersey anymore, unfortunately.
Ooh, man.
But yeah, man, this 50-year mortgage, it's something, like I said, it takes discipline. I'm not sugarcoating it for nobody. If you mess up, you will be in trouble. But if you could discipline yourself, it's a game changer. Because like I said, if not, the alternative is BlackRock is going to buy up all these properties and turn everybody into permanent renters forever and ever.
Yeah, I agree, brother. Thank you for the call.
You don't get these young kids into Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I always got you, brother.
Yeah, that was brilliant, man. Always. You call every day. That was great. Thank you, Jersey.
Thanks, Jersey.
Yes, sir. Sister Kendra, you feel better.
Thank you.
Very, very good.
Touch on that real quick because he made some great points. But this is initially why I was like, yeah, I don't think this is a good idea. Number one, I see Josh said, just remember most 20-year-olds are stupid, and they are. Again, I will say I see why it looks on paper like it's a good idea to get them, you know, into home ownership and all the things. And it can be a very great thing. But because I'm in real estate and I should be somebody that's like cheering this on because like obviously it means more buyers for me, right? The problem is, though, if people aren't disciplined, like he said, and they get these 50-year mortgages and they're not either paying more on their principal, they're not building equity. And if I go to, like I said, in 3 to 5 years, people are going to want to do something different. Either they've had kids, they've gotten married, you know, they need to get a bigger house, or maybe their job's relocating them, Well, if I get ready to sell, it typically takes 2 years on a 30-year mortgage under normal market circumstances, obviously. But on average, it takes about 2 years to build up any equity in your home to be able to, like, basically break even or make a little bit of money in that time that you sell. And so with this 50-year mortgage and knowing you're paying all interest, I mean, that's with any mortgage up to like the first 5 years. But truly on a 50-year, you are really paying all interest, especially if you're not making any extra principal payments. So that's the side that I'm kind of seeing it from, is that, you know, if they're not disciplined, and let's just be honest, the majority of 20, 21-year-olds are not disciplined, then they're going to come out of pocket when they get ready to sell in 2 to 3, 5 years. So that's the biggest downfall I see with it.
Yeah, I do. And like
there's pros and cons for sure.
I got tickled by this. Balance from R. Graham, 970. Balance in checkbooks was for checks. Now payments are all digital. Yeah, you think that my mother... I call her my mom, Sandra. She's my stepmother, but she's the only mother that I've ever really had. She still balances her checkbook even with debit card payments. So she still does it to this day. But yeah, great call. What the hell was that? Hey, what's up? You are live with Todd and Kendra. What's on your mind?
Hey, John, hey, Kendra. First off, I want to say I hope you get to feeling better, Kendra.
Thank you.
One thing to just kind of know for Jersey, always love listening when he calls in, and that conversation y'all just had explained a lot for me, trying to understand how the 50-year loan worked. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife, we've been in our house since pre-COVID. We got married and moved into our house right before Alabama shut down. Mm. And it helps understanding it more after that whole discussion y'all just had. And when y'all first talked about it on Dear America, at first I was excited about it, and then I started thinking, the logical part of my brain started kicking in and said, okay, well, what's the side effects from it? What's the catch to it? And... so that's just how my brain works. Some that sounds good, okay, but what's the catch?
Yeah.
Like, what comes with it? And so, like, that right there, it helped expand a lot. So I say thank you to all three of you for that. And there's one kind of question off to the side I started thinking about. It's didn't talk about much in this show, but one of the callers this morning kind of made me think about it. And it's something I've been praying on since I got a last call from a recruiter. So back in 22, I enlisted to the Marine Corps and ended up having medical issues and had to leave training at the end of phase one.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I keep thinking about if I really want to go back in. Like, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and so that's been kind of my... Yes, baby. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my little girl's in the back.
Love it. Love it. No need to apologize for that at all. I love it.
I just picked her up from school. Mm-hmm. But it's been something I've been thinking about, and I'd love to sit and have a conversation with you at some point, either outside of the show or whatnot, about it.
Yeah.
Because I've been, like, today especially, it started weighing on me. Even though I didn't become a Marine, it's something that weighs on my mind. Like, the military or veteran community, I've always gotten along with the best.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we're pretty awesome, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But but it's something that at some point I would like to talk to you and ask questions about.
Yeah, for sure. How old are you?
26.
26? You married?
I got a pool.
Yes, sir.
And married with two kids. I would honestly and email me Todd@dearamericamedia.com. But here, this is just precursor to the conversation that we're going to have. What I need to do, what I need to look at is the discharge that you got from the Marine Corps. I need to see the bottom part of it. Okay. Not with your social date of birth or nothing, that the bottom part that tells me your narrative reasoning for separation, because that's going to determine what branch you'll be able to join and all that. And I don't know your financial situation. I don't know your health insurance situation, but I used to talk to people, to guys like you all the time that were married, had like younger kids. And I always push the guard, like the Army guard, to you guys, because you can get that fulfillment of military service and get the health insurance that is freaking amazing. And it's only like $75 a month. Like, I don't know what you're paying now, but that's a big benefit of being in the guard. But shoot me an email. Just take a, if you have your 214, your discharge, take a picture of the bottom of it and include that in your email. That way I can get a better idea of, you know, what the process is going to take.
All right, I will. I have to look, take through all my stuff, try to find it again.
I got you. But, well, the reason I say that is because the Marines are notorious. They are notorious for discharging people that either don't want to reenlist or in your situation or whatever, and giving people horrible discharges so they can't get into another branch of service. So let me just find it, take a picture, email me, and then we'll have the conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. So Todd@dearamericamedia.com, correct?
That's it, brother.
Awesome. Thank you. I truly appreciate it.
No problem, man.
Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And Kendra, again, I hope you get the feeling better.
Thank you.
And I can just, let me just say this. I mean, we're in premium. I can pretty much say whatever I want, which I'm going to do it regardless if I'm not in premium. That's really what I want to do. Like that. Yeah, politics are great. Having these political discussions is fine. It's cool. But real world stuff, you know, like I think we, and when I say we, I mean me, Kendra, Graham, I think we benefit y'all the most when we give y'all stuff that you can apply to your daily lives, that you can
do. Nobody gives a crap about this bang. I said, yeah, people don't really, really care about this bang mess. They want to know, like, how can I pay off my house?
Yeah.
And exactly. How can I get to heaven?
Yeah. How can you pay off your house? Your kids want to join the military, stuff like that. Having phone conversations like with people like Jersey, who like literally explains these things honestly better than I did. You know, seriously, better than I did.
When are you going to start your podcast, Jersey?
No, he just said he's going to get a studio up. I can't wait. You let me know. And Jersey, shoot me an email. I can tell you what equipment you need to go get. And it's not that expensive. Just ask Nuke. You saw Nuke the other Tuesday, so. All right, next caller. But I'm glad that we can help, that we can actually say something or show you something that benefits your life. That's the goal here. That's the goal. I mean, I don't care nothing about being another, you know, Dan Bongino, or being another Graham, or being another, you know, voice. I don't really care nothing about that. All right, I want to help the best way that I can. Hey, welcome. Welcome, welcome. You are live with Todd and Kendra. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. Hello, Kendra. This is Caddy Highlander. The question I have for Kendra over the VA is, this is going to be my first house that I've bought. It's currently the rental that we are living in, and the landlord is wanting to sell it to us way below the market value. With it being the rental, there are a few things that need to be fixed. And I've heard that the VA can be kind of strict when it comes to purchasing a house.
Very.
What do I need to look at as far as inspection-wise or anything like that?
So with you guys, I'm assuming you're just both going to do it, you know, like for sale by owner, no agents involved or anything like that.
Yes.
Your, excuse me, your lender will get a VA appraiser. And that VA appraiser will go in and say the things that need to be fixed. So when you say there need to be some repairs, what are you talking about in general? Because it may not be.
Well, he recently had the bathroom repaired because we had a wall that had, you know, gotten old and caved in.
Mm.
And then we've had the window in that bathroom being taken out, and it's still not completely finished.
Yeah, that's got to be done. So I'll just give you the short version. Any government-backed loan, again, like I was talking about earlier, FHA, USDA, or VA, they're all going to flag anything that could be a safety issue or a safety concern. And those appraisers are trained to look for, you know, exposed wiring, broken glass, if there's holes in anything, any of the walls,
foundation,
any of the fascia outside, if there's roof issues. And they're not going to let that lender loan you the money until those things are corrected, because ultimately it falls back onto the government. The government is guaranteeing that loan for them. And so they're going to make sure that there are no safety issues because they don't want a lawsuit. And so that's the kinds of things that you'll have to look at. And I mean, you know, you guys could draw up a contract and settle on a price, especially like you were saying, if it's, you know, way below market value. The problem with your seller may be, you know, they're like, well, we're not willing to sink $10,000 into this if you know, this is what you're purchasing it for. So you may have to absorb some of that back into the purchase price, which I think would be fair if they're already, you know, below market value there for you. And sometimes you can get people or companies to do the repairs and agree to get paid at closing. Now, those are few and far between, but they do exist. They are out there. And then, you know, they would just do the work, let's say, you know, a week or two before closing. The appraiser would come back out and reinspect everything that was the repairs that needed to, that they noted on the first inspection. And then they would collect their check at closing. And so your seller wouldn't necessarily have to be out of pocket up front for the repairs, but it would come out of their closing proceeds. Okay. Does that make sense?
Right. Because the house we're looking at, it's made in 1905, so it's extremely old.
Yeah. There could be,
but it's out in the country where I'd rather be.
Yeah, sure. Me too. No, so the very first house I bought was an old farmhouse. That was what the house was built. What in like
the 40s,
1940, 40s. 1930, something like 40s. That. Old farmhouse, barn style house, and yeah, they had the VA is very meticulous about that stuff. They Todd at DearAmericanMedia.com. That's it, Jersey. Yeah, but and understand that that's why, because not only they're protecting their money, but they're also protecting you, the veteran, as well. So they're a little bit more meticulous on that. Kendra, would it be a bad idea to just get it inspected?
No, I was going to say free press audit. Jesse just made a good. She said you need to get an inspection anyway. And Todd and I can tell you that from experience, because before I became an agent,
we
purchased
up.
Omega without an inspection because it was 2021. There were no houses on the market, especially not five bedrooms that we needed for seven people. And so there were multiple people looking at this house that we wanted. We did not get an inspection, and it ended up costing us about $70,000 in repairs over the last 5 years. Literally, bricks were falling off our house, y'all, from the upstairs. It was separating
from the house.
They were pulling
apart from the house.
They were installed incorrectly. And so I would just encourage you to get a home inspection regardless. That VA appraiser is going to come out and tell you, hey, we're not loaning you any money until this, and this is fixed. They will flag what needs to be done. But a general home inspection is going to tell you, the home buyer, everything that's wrong with it. And I will tell you, with it being built in 1905, get ready because it's going to be a lot.
Because the code has changed. The building code has changed 137 times.
There were no codes in 1905. Yeah. So.
And just go ahead and prepare yourself.
It's going to look bad.
For like aggravating stuff. Like float switches in the HVAC system, and you know the electrical panel is very different now. Just I mean, little bitty meticulous stupid things that weren't even code in the 90s that are right now. So just be ready.
And I would say, you know, don't let the home inspection scare you, but just let it inform you, and that way you're not going in blind. I mean, I know you've been living there, obviously. But sometimes there are things hidden, you know, that we can't see with the naked eye, but an inspector is going to find those things. So not to say, you know, it's not going to be a good house. Just prepare yourself because it's going to be a long laundry list.
Right.
With it being built in 1905.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate y'all's info on this.
Yeah. You're welcome.
No
problem. VA's got a great... You know, it's some great stuff because you can get 0% down, so no money out of pocket down like that. So, I mean, it can be a very good a deal. So,
I love it. I use it every time. Every time. I love the VA. No down payment. I love it. But, yeah, if you have any more questions, man, call again or jump in the Discord. And, you know, if you have questions or anything. And that goes for the rest of you. Like, if y'all have questions about this stuff, like, she is a subject matter expert when it comes to these things. I know she, little pecker ladies over there shaking her head no, but she is. She prides herself, and I pride her in, she does her research, and she knows her shit. So, like, don't be afraid to jump in the Discord and ask questions as well.
Okie dokie, and you get to feeling better, Kendra.
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on? You're live with Todd and Kendra. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, Johnny Marine.
What's up, bub?
I told Mrs. Rooster Cox what you said about you buying the tickets, and she said, why? So we're going to have to argue about that one with her. Couple of things, not really related to the mortgage topic. I would be more than happy to take that $2,000 from any Democrat that doesn't want it.
Amen.
Go ahead and just dump all of the ones that get returned that say return to sender right into my bank account.
Agreed.
And I wanted to clarify something from yesterday when we were talking about Islam. Yeah, we have freedom of religion in this country, but can we ban Sharia law so they can't, you know, force women to not drive and not leave the house uncovered and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Like, is that,
no, yeah, 100%. No. See, that's the catch 22 for me is like, yes, we have freedom of religion, but we also have like, you can't, like, okay, as a Christian, I have the freedom to practice my faith. I have the freedom to get on this show, to get on this camera, just like you do, just like anybody else, to talk about my faith and stuff like that. But just like there are some, all right, and this is the best way I can explain this. I actually thought about this last night. There are, like, take the UPC, all right? Take the UPC church, the United Pentecostal Church, all right? Those are the ones that you see that the ladies are wearing long dresses. Okay, that they're, I mean, down to their ankles. They don't wear blue jeans. They don't wear, you know, pants. They wear dresses and they have the little bonnets and stuff in their hair. Just because I have the right or they have the right to practice their faith, they can't grab Kendra off the street and say, hey, you have to dress like this. No, you can't do that. Absolutely not. And they can take the Sharia law and shove it right up their little darka behinds. As Graham said, you can take this cup and sit on it and spin around. That you don't. That you can't do. But here's the caveat to that. Name a country that Islam has not invaded where they don't do that. Is it legal to do that here?
Right.
No, but find me a country where they don't do it. That's the kicker.
Well, I guarantee you, Mrs. Rooster Talks ain't going to put up with that.
Bro, I would pay whatever. I would pay whatever it cost. Sandy, Coffee, you're Pentecostal. I said United Pentecostal. There's like five different Pentecostal faiths, okay? Not UPC, not just a normal Pentecostal. I was Pentecostal at one point too, okay? That's a different thing. And I'm not wrong, trust me. I've been to both. I would pay whatever it took for some Durka Durka to grab Kendra on the street and tell her how she had to dress. I would love it.
Yeah. And one last thing, I wanted to address the Butch Bulldyke lesbian in the video. And I'm probably actually going to pull this one up next week, Thursday, on my show. But, honey, men protect women from other men who won't let them decide when they're going to procreate, if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So we don't need nothing from men. Yeah, you do. You need protection from the men who won't let you decide when you're going to be procreating. And it won't be fun for you if we don't protect you.
I agree, brother. As always, man. I agree.
Just wanted to throw that one out there.
I agree, bro. Thank you for calling, as always, man.
Yep.
All right, be good, man.
Always fun.
Yep. Yeah, so again, like on the, and I have to go back because I hope I didn't offend anybody that's Pentecostal in the chat. Look, I grew up, like I've been to several different Pentecostal churches. I'm not saying every Pentecostal is like that. I mean, you've got the Assemblies of God, that's a version of a Pentecostal denomination. You have UPC, that's a denomination off the denomination of Pentecost. You have several different churches and denominationals that vary off of the Pentecostal denomination. You just are not one of those. Not all Pentecostals wear dresses and stuff like that, but some of them do. And if they have the UPC flag outside of their church, I guarantee you they are them. And I'm not saying they're wrong. All right, I'm not. That just, hey, if you think wearing a dress down to your ankles makes you closer to Jesus, do it. Okay. Do it. I don't care. Like, it's just like how you worship. All right, do you go to a Baptist church and sing a boring hymn to an organ? I would jump out of a window if I had to do that every day because I like drums. I like guitars. I love worship bands and Brandon Lakes and Elevation Music. I love it. If I had to be confined to, I'd jump out of a window. But if that's what you need to do, do it. I don't care. Whatever gets you closer to God, I don't care. I don't care. But that was the last caller. That was it. Okay. Kendra, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, not really. I hope today has been beneficial for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't always know what I'm talking about on this real estate stuff, but
yeah, you do.
I'm learning still every day, and I'm happy to help however I can.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's all the time
we're
got.
About to go get him back in the bed.
About to go get right back in that bed, I promise you, because I feel like I know I don't look it, but I feel horrible right now.
I feel so bad. I'm like kind of dizzy even. I'm like, ooh.
Well, you look great.
You're so, I love you. and on that note, I will say, do not forget that no matter what you've done, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you guys for being here with us today.
Absolutely. You guys take care. This is the last show for the week, so we will see you again on Monday. Go check out TJ, a.k.a. Free Castle, and then Take Up Your Cross. I know a lot of you guys already have. And I'll see you guys in the morning on Dear America. No telling what we're going to talk about, but I'll see you guys later. Love you, miss you, mean it. Thanks for hanging out, babe.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.